Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. We have the unique privilege today of learning the first Shaila in the Sefer Ma'amakim. I think it's volume 4 or 5, one of the two. I don't remember. I photocopied it, so I don't remember which volume I took it from. I got it from the computer. And in this question, we are going to discuss, as we always discuss in Mi'amah Malakim, a very, very heartbreaking dilemma that the Jews had to deal with. And the learning should be Le'ilu Nishmas, obviously all of the Kedoshim V'Tahorim that were killed by the Nazis, particularly my great-grandparents who were killed by the Nazis, and my great-grandmother, Esther Bas Shmuel, who was hiding in Czechoslovakia. And Baruch Hashem, she remained alive, and I knew her well. I actually miss her dearly. She died 19 years ago in Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And she'd be Lulu Nishmas, her husband, as well. My great-grandfather, who I wasn't Zocha to know. And we should be Zocha that not only should be an Ilu Neshama for them, but it should also be an Ilu Neshama for us. When we learn Torah, our Neshama is also elevated. The question here is about a situation that the Jews were dealing with in the Kovna ghetto, that they were given 5,000, there was a group of Jews in Moetzes HaZikenim, a council of elders, who were given 5,000 white cards. And these white cards were to be given to Balei Melacha, to the workers, and whichever worker gets a card is allowed to stay in the ghetto with his family. Everybody else is going to be liquidated, Rachmana Litzlan, is going to be killed. And the question came up, first of all, is this council of elders, are they allowed to give out the cards? Because by giving out a card to a Jew, they're preventing another Jew from getting the card. They can only give out 5,000, there were 30,000 people there. So if they give out a card to the 5,000, they're causing all the people who don't get cards, they're causing them to die, Rachmana Litzlan. Not only that, the other question that came up is that if somebody has a card, is it permitted for somebody else to jump on top of him and grab the card away? Because this card was the difference between life and death. So the Shiloh was asked to Rav Oshri about giving out the cards and indirectly causing other Jews to die, the Jews who don't receive the cards. Maybe it's better not to give them out at all, and you're not causing death at all to anybody. You're just being passive. And also, is it mutter to snatch it away, to save yourself? We have a clout, my chazik de damadi dach sumuktfei, duma damadi chavrach sumuktfei, who says your blood's redder, maybe your friend's blood is redder. So those were the two shailas. In order to answer the shailah, Rav Oshri begins with a discussion with the famous Yerushalmi, Perek Hei of Trumas and Halacha Dalet. There are not so many Yerushalmis that are famous, but this, anyone who's ever been Osek in the Sugya knows this Yerushalmi, that's where it all begins. It comes up a lot of times in Holocaust questions, and questions dealing with Arabs and army questions. It says there that if you have a group of Jews who are traveling and they go and meet them, and they say, hand us over a Jew and we'll kill him. And if not, if you don't hand over a Jew, we'll kill you all. So the halacha is, says the Yerushalmi, you're not allowed to hand over a Jew. And even if all of them are going to be killed, lo yimsru nefesh achas mi Yisrael, you're not allowed to hand over any Jews. But let's say, yichdu lehem echad, let's say they singled out a Jew, like Sheva ben Bichri. We all know the famous story. Sheva ben Bichri in Shmuel Beis, Perek Chaf. If you don't know the story, I suggest you look there. And if you didn't attend a very good seminary, then you probably don't know this story. Because unfortunately, Tanakh is all too often the singular domain of young ladies. And guys are busy with Gemara, but I'll take advantage of this opportunity to encourage guys to learn Tanakh as well. It's a great, great sefer, Tanakh. It's really, it's holy and it's interesting, and there are a lot of lessons to be learned. So, and I can't speak for myself and say I'm the biggest bucky in Tanakh, but I can say that I always feel rewarded when I learn it, and I give myself a bracha and you a bracha that you should learn a lot of Tanakh in addition to the other things that you learn. In addition to listening to shiurim on Holocaust questions. In any event, we have the story here of Sheva ben Bichri, who rebelled against the king, and he ran away, and he was hiding in the city, and Yoav was pursuing him, he was married to Malchus, and What they did was they took his head and they chopped it off and they threw it over the wall and Shalom al Yisrael. So here Shevet ben Bichri was set aside. So in such a case, where you have a guy like Shevet ben Bichri, who was Yichdu Lahem, who was set aside, who was singled out, then you must also. Then if the Goyim singled out a person, here it wasn't talking about Goyim, but whoever it is, if a person is singled out, you're allowed to give this person away, v'al yahargu, and not all of them have to be killed. That's the first opinion. However, Shimon ben Lakish says that it's provided, v'hu shiyei chayev misa k'shevet ben Bichri. Rav Shimon ben Lakish said, this is provided that the person who you're giving away, who is singled out, is chayev misa, like Shevet ben Bichri was chayev misa. Rav Yochanan, when you hear Reish Lakish, you know Rav Yochanan can't be far behind. He demurs, I think that's the word in English they say. He disputes Reish Lakish. And he says that even if he's not chayv misa k'shev ben bichri, as long as they single the guy out, you can give him away. Adkan, the first part of the sugya. Then the Gemara tells the story that Ula bar Kushev was seeked out by the Malchus, by the government. He ran away to Lud, to Rabbi Yoshua ben Lakish, to Reish Lakish. And they said he was surrounded. And Reish Lakish, and he was told that if you don't give him to us, we're going to destroy everything. So what did Reish Lakish do? He gave the guy away. He wanted to save the city. So Eliyahu Zachar Latov, what happened? Eliyahu Zachar Latov, who used to always reveal himself to Reish Lakish, didn't. Finally, after Reish Lakish fasted a few times, Eliyahu HaNavi appears to him, and he says to him, what am I revealing myself to people who give Jews away to the Goyim? He says, wait a second, I followed the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if a guy is singled out, you're allowed to give him away. What did I do wrong? It says Tani. I followed a Tanaic source. So he says, nah. Eliyahu HaNavi said to him, it's not Mishnah's Chasidim. It's not the ideal way of doing it. So you see that Eliyahu HaNavi had Akpada, and Reish Lakish for giving away this guy who was singled out by the government. So how does the Rambam paskin? What's the halacha? So in the fifth parak of Hilchas Yisod HaTorah, halacha hey, the Rambam says, V'chein amru lehem ovdei kochavim, tenu lanu echad mikem v'nargenu, v'im lav naro kulchem, if the Goyim say, either give away one of you Jews, and if not, we're going to kill you all, Yahargu kulam v'al yamasri lehem nefesh achas miYisrael. They should all be killed. And you're not allowed to give away any Jews. You're not allowed to be the cause of a Jew being killed and giving him away by giving him away. V'im yichdu lehem v'armutlu l'neponi. Od naharog es kulchem. But if the Goyim set aside a Jew and they said, either you give us ploni or we'll kill all of you. Im hayim achuyiv misa k'sheva ben bichri. If he was chayiv misa like Sheva ben bichri, then yitnu also lehem. So you see that the Rambam paskin is like Reish Lakish. That only if he's chayv misa like Shev ben Bichri, then you're allowed to give him away. V'ein morin lehem kein lechatchila. But lechatchila, you don't tell them to do that. V'im ein o chayv misa, and if he's not chayv misa, then yahargu kulam v'ayim asur lehem nefesh achas miYisrael. If he's not chayv misa, then they all have to be killed. So again, the ideal way, the Rambam says, the ideal way is not to give anybody away. But me'ikar hadin, you're allowed, if somebody is mechuyav misa, you're allowed to give him away. If he's not mechuyav misa, even if he's singled out, you are not allowed to pass him over to the goyim. So the Sefer Ma'aripanim on the Yerushalmi has a problem with the Rambam here. He says, Nesher Agadol, Rav Moshe ben Maimon, Holy of Holies. Why do you pass him like Rav Yochanan, Reish Lakish against Rav Yochanan? Reish Lakish was the one who paskin that he has to be chayiv misa in order that it should be permitted to give him, pass him over to the goyim. Rabbi Yochanan said, even if he's not chayiv misa, you can give him to the goyim as long as he was singled out. So why, Rambam, do you paskin like Reish Lakish when you should paskin like Rabbi Yochanan? So he said, the Maripanim says, listen, all the terutzim I heard about this I don't like. And the best answer I like is that the Rambam had a different girsa. That where we have Reish Lakish, he had Rabbi Yochanan. Where we have Rabbi Yochanan, he had Reish Lakish. So really it was Rabbi Yochanan who paskin that if the person is, only if the person is Chayiv Misa, you're allowed to give him away. And not Reish Lakish. And that's why the Rambam paskin that way. However, the Kesef Mishnah has another pshat in the Rambam. Kesef Mishnah says that he paskins like Reish Lakish, even though normally we don't paskin like Reish Lakish, because it's Safik Nefasha Sula Hachmir. So here in the case of Safik Nefasha, we're more Machmir, and we don't give away the guy Stam, even if he's singled out, unless he's Chayev Misa. And not only that, but Reish Lakish has a Taneik source on his side, because it says there that it has to be like Sheva Ben Bichri. And Sheva Ben Bichri, the Mashmos is that you have to be Chayev Misa like Sheva Ben Bichri. Not only was Sheva Ben Bichri singled out, but he was also Chayev Misa. Mashma that if he were Chayev Misa, you wouldn't be allowed to give him away. And the Rambam holds that in that story that we learned, that person ran away, and Reish Lakish gave him over to the government because they were threatening to kill everybody. So this person was Chayev Misa like Sheva Ben Bichri. And nevertheless, Eliyahu HaNavi didn't want to appear to Reish Lakish, because he said, what, is this Mishnas Chassidim? So that's how the Rambam learned that Lechatchila, even Lechatchila, if the person's singled out, you still shouldn't give him away, even if he's Chayev Misa. And that's why Eliyahu HaNavi had a Hakpada. So Atkan, the Sugya in the Yerushalmi, and the Mefarshei Yerushalmi, the Ma'arepanim, and the Kesef Mishnah. What about Lahalacha, Lahalacha for us, Ashkenazim, the Ramah, Shulchan Aruch, Yeridaya, Simen Kufnan Zayin, Sif Aleph, says that if the Goyim come to the Jews and they say, give us one of you, and we'll kill you, and we'll kill him. If you don't, then you're all finished. So they're not allowed to, unless Yichduhu, they set him aside, they singled him out, and they said, Tznu lanu ploni. So then, the Ramah continues, and he says, V'yesh omrim, da'afilu, b'chahai gavna, ein lamosar, elim ken chayv misa, k'sheva ben bichri. So here he brings that the Yesh Omrim, like the Rambam says, the Rambam paskins, that he has to be chayv misa like Sheva ben Bichri. So first he says, b'stama, that as long as they singled him out, you're allowed to give him away. And then he says that he has to be chayv misa like Sheva ben Bichri. The Taz, there in Yoredeya and Sif Katan Zayin writes, v'nira li she'ikar achei ta'ya b'mashir Rabbi Yeshua ben Lakish atzmo halach u'masro. So the main sin here was that he gave him away, Reish Lakish gave him away himself. And he should have let the people do it, and they would have given him away. He shouldn't have said anything. And that's why Eliyahu HaNavi said to him, Lav Mishnas Chassidimi. Kalomar Shalala Chassidim Nishna Kain, Shem Batsmim Yasua. Eliyah Nicho Adavar Kamoshu. It's not for the Chassidim to do. It's not for the Tzaddikim like you to do. Let the other people do the dirty work. And therefore the Rambam says, Ein Morin Kain Lechatchila. Eliyah Nicho Adavar Kamoshi Yirtsu. You don't pass in that way Lechatchila. Let it be, and the masses are going to do what the masses are going to do. They don't always ask so many questions. And he says, that's what appears to me to be the correct pshat, and Yerushalmi and the Rambam. So we have the Taz here, who is my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, who says, not that I remember, I'm not that old, but a cousin of mine did some research, so I always wanted to be related to a famous rabbi. So now I am. I'm related to the Bach and the Taz, so please wish me Mazel Tov. Thank you. So the Taz says that we should paskin like the Ramah in the second opinion in the Yesh Omrim, that only if he's Chayev Misa like Sheva ben Bichri are you allowed to give him away. And he continues, and he says, "V'od nirali debemakom shein rashayim limser also." If you're not allowed to give him away, it doesn't matter whether they want to kill him or whether they want to torture him. It doesn't matter, because once he gets into the hands of those ovdei kochavim, they're not going to have any rachmanis on him. So if you're not allowed to give him away, you're not allowed to give him away for anything. And the Nodabi Yehuda Madur Tinyanin Chelik Yerodeh Siman Ayin Dalid, in a tshuva from the son of the Nodabi Yehuda, he writes that what emerges from this is that Lekulei Alma, according to everybody, if the person didn't do a Maisa like Sheva ben Bichri, you're not allowed to give him away, even if they single him out. And Rav Ashri tells you to look at that Gevaldik Tshuva. I hope you have a Noda B'Yehuda at home. They have a nice new edition with big print, square letters. Makes life easier. Mikolzos Nire, says Rav Oshri, from all of these sources that we've seen, the Moeses Zekenim are not allowed, this council of elders should not be allowed to give out these white cards. Because by giving Jews white cards, they are causing other Jews as a result will be killed. And the Germans didn't set aside Jews that they want to take and kill. And even if they would set aside Jews, and they would say, we want him and him and him and him, so don't give them white cards, it wouldn't matter, because these people aren't Chayv Misa like Sheva ben Bichri. And if it's not like Sheva ben Bichri, if the person's not Chayv Misa, then you're not allowed to give him away. Because that's how the Rambam paskins, that's how the Ramah paskins, that's the Yesharim and the Ramah, and that's how the Tassas would say we have to paskin. So apparently we should paskin that the Zekenim shouldn't give out the cards, rather just leave them, and whatever happens, happens. So I guess if the Jews, I mean the Rav Oshri doesn't say this, but if they just put them down and let whoever takes what they take, then they get lucky, they get the card. I don't know if it's lucky to get the card or not to get the card. If you get a card, that means somebody else didn't get a card. Anyone in the ghetto isn't lucky. We can't talk about lucky. So he says, to give it out, he says you can't give it out. L'chora, because by giving it out to one Jew, it's going to cause another Jew not to get it. And here the Goyim didn't single anybody out, and even if they did, nobody's chayv misa. So memela, just leave the davar kamos shehu. Just leave it as it is, like we saw earlier in the Taz. That l'chatchila, that's the best way to do it. However, he says, Shafti v'ra'isi b'shulchan aruch hoshin mishpat simen kuf samach gimel siv katan yud ches in the shach. And the shach, this is really, Rav Oisai, this is the key. This is really the key. And there's another question, a very similar question, that's very famous, that there was once a father who came to the Rav, and he said that there's a list of people who are to be saved, and my son is not on the list. I can get him on the list, but if I get him on the list, that means somebody else is going to be killed. So am I allowed to do that? So that's basically the same question we have here. So here we have a very important shach. So the shach is so important, we're going to have to learn it. He writes that if there's a king who decreed that certain Jews, seems from the context, that they have to be killed. So the question is, are you allowed to get these Jews out of it, and other people are going to be in their stead? So in the Tshuvas Ma'arival, in Chelek Beis, Simon Mem, he says that if the king already said that specific people have to be killed, so a Jew isn't allowed to try to save them if other people are going to be harmed as a result. But if there's a gzeira that stam two Jews are going to be harmed, so a Jew can try his best to get people out of it, even though other people are going to be into it, are going to be caught. So again, if the king said he singled certain people out, so if by saving them, once they're already singled out, the king says, I want Reuven and Shimon. If by saving Reuven and Shimon, you know that Bevadai, two other Jews, are going to be in their stead, then you're not allowed to save them. But if the king just says, Stam, I want two Jews, so you're allowed to do whatever is in your power to help other Jews avoid the decree. So Rav Oshri says that case seems exactly like our case. That what? That in our case, the Goyim didn't single out specific Jews to kill. There was a Stam Gzeira. The Gzeira was Kartisim Levanim, that whoever has these white cards, their life is saved. So this is like the latter instance that the Ma'arival discussed. In the first case, he said that if the king says that specific Jews have to die, Reuven and Shimon have to die, you're not allowed to save Reuven and Shimon if you know Yehuda and Levi are gonna go in their stead. That you're not allowed to do that. But if the king just said, I want two Jews, you're allowed to do whatever was in your power, to save Levi and Yehuda. So you can try to save them, you're allowed to try to save them. or Reuven and Shimon, whoever the people might be. Just using examples, mixed up the examples, because beforehand we were trying to save Reuven and Shimon. So if Stami says, I want two people, but he doesn't single anybody out, then you're allowed to try to save Reuven and Shimon, even though you know that it means Levi and Yehuda are going to get it. But once he singles out Reuven and Shimon, then you're now allowed to save Reuven and Shimon, knowing Levi and Yehuda are going to get it. So before there's the actual decree on who it is, you're allowed to save whoever you want to save. Once the decree goes out on specific Jews, then you're now allowed to save them, knowing that other Jews are going to be killed, because here the decree is already out on their head. So by saving them, you're causing other Jews' heads to go off. But if there's no decree on any specific Jews yet, it's still sort of up in the air, it's still in limbo, then you're allowed to save whoever you can save. So in our case, where the Germans didn't say they want anybody specific, so you can save whoever you want to save. You can give the white cards to whoever you want to. Ah, says the Rav Ashri, here you can argue. And you can say that since they gave them 5,000 cards, so it's like they have a special gzeira on those Jews that aren't going to have the cards, that they should be killed. And as long as a Jew doesn't have a card, he's included in the gzeira. And when you gave him the card, so then you were a mevatel gzeira and you caused the gzeira to go on somebody else's head. So maybe that's like the Ma'arival said at the beginning of the tshuva, that if somebody's already singled out, then you're not allowed to save him if it's going to cause somebody else to be killed. So here it's as if every single person now is singled out for death. And by giving somebody a card, you're saving him. And by saving him, you're causing somebody else to be killed. And that you're not allowed to do. Just like if there's a decree on two specific Jews, let's say, you're not allowed to save those Jews, knowing that other people are going to be killed. So here there's a decree, kiviyachol, on everybody. And now by saving a certain number of people, by giving out these 5,000 white cards, you're going to be causing the people without the cards to be killed. So maybe it's better not to give them out, not to do anything. So, and that's like the beginning of the Maharival's tshuva. However, mitzad ha-svara would seem that you, says Rav Oshri, that you can't compare our case to what the Maharival says at the beginning of his tshuva. Because sof-sof, there were no specific people here who were pointed out that they have to be killed. You can't say that Reuven and Shimon now have a gzera that they have to be killed, and then by giving them the white cards, so you're saving their lives and causing somebody else to be killed. He said, al pi svara, it's better to compare it to the latter part of the tshuva of the Ma'arival, that there's a gzera on two specific people, on two people bestam, not any two specific people, and there you can try to save whoever you can try to save. So here also, since the Germans, at the end of the day, the Germans didn't point out, they didn't say we want to kill him and him in this instance. They didn't say we want to kill him and him and him and him and him, and then you're saving those specific people. Here it's much more up in the air. They say they want a certain number of Jews. So you can do whatever you want to save whoever you can save. And therefore, you would be allowed to give out this council of elders would be allowed to give out the white cards. So, where he's holding now, he says it's much better to compare it to the case where the Goyim didn't single anybody out yet. It's just up in the air, and when it's up in the air, you can save, and that really seems much more logical. So at the end of the day, they didn't single anyone out, even though there is a tzad to say that as if the decree is specifically on everybody's head, and now you're saving whoever you can save. And whoever you can save, but since the decree was on them, by saving them, you're causing somebody else. Definitely, he's going to die because he doesn't have the card. So there is, it's sad to say that, but it's a lot more logical to say that no. The Germans didn't point anybody out yet. They just said, in general, we want a certain number of people. Meaning whoever doesn't have these white cards. So, since the Germans didn't single anybody out, you're allowed to save whoever you can save. They just made a very general decree. K'mokain, continues Rav Ashri, Matzasi b'hai uvda da'asa kamein maran hagon Rav Avram Duber Kahana Shapira. He says, this came before Rav Avram Kahana Duber Shapira. My sweet friend Meir Dov, remember we discussed Rav Avram Duber Kahana Shapira, the Kovner Rav, the author of the famous Dvar Avram. V'zeh ha'davar b'yom vav mar cheshvan tovshin beis. This happened on the 6th of Cheshvan, which happens to be my birthday, but it wasn't a very happy day in Tufshin Beis in 1942. They told them that they have to put up a sign in the ghetto. They told the Council of Elders, the Germans told the Council of Elders, they have to put up a sign on the 8th of Cheshvan, on the 26th of October, 1941. You see, the dates here are very exact. This is historical facts. I'll call Kluwe Agito Anashim Nashim Betaf L'Rabbos Cholam B'Zikenim L'Kol B'Migrash Hayadua B'Shem Demokrata Plutz. That they should all gather in the famous yard called, I would translate this into English, as the democratic place. It wasn't very democratic. B'Shum Adam B'Yisrael Asur Lo Lishar B'Abayis Oso Zman. And no Jew is allowed to stay at home at that time. Umuetzes Azakenim Shalchem Yad Mishlachas Shel Arba Nashim Lagono Beit in Dekovna. And the Council of Elders sent a group of four messengers to the Kovna Rav, to Rav Shapira. V'nafshem b'shei losam, and their question was, should they listen to the Germans? Should they put this sign up or not? Because what happens when they put this sign up is that the Jews are going to gather in the courtyard, Rachmana Litzlan, and rumor has it that the Germans are going to be killing a lot of the Jews who are gathered there. It was very late at night when this group of messengers came to the house of the Rav to ask their question, and the Rav was already sleeping in his bed. Nevertheless, despite the fact that the Rav was already an old man and his health situation wasn't very strong, we can imagine under the circumstances, the Rebbetzin went into his room and she told him that there's a group of people who want to see you. He got out of his bed and the group told him what's happening at this time in the ghetto. And when the Rav heard this new gzeira, he started to shake with his entire body, because he had so much tsar until he was about to faint, and they had to give him drops of valerium to calm him down. The Kovner Rav, who was filled with a feeling of responsibility that was on his shoulders as the leader of the Jews, and knowing the horrible gzeira, told this group, Ki ha-historia ha-yehudit ha-arukah akuvam bidam, that the long Jewish history, which is so filled with blood, knows about such gzeiros. Nevertheless, he can't immediately tell them his opinion, his psak, in this very, very serious matter. That night, the Rav didn't go back to sleep. Rather, he looked in Svarim, and he was ma'ayin in the halacha. This is not a time... Some people would say whatever their instinct tells them, but not a Jew, not a person who's faithful to the halacha. You want to see what's Dvar Hashem, whatever Dvar Hashem is, that's what we're going to do. And after thinking about it for a long time, he told them the psak din b'zeh haloshen. Im yatzik zeh al kehilu miYisrael ashmid rachman letzlan. If there's a decree to destroy a group of Jews, and there's a possibility through various means to save some of them. The leaders of the community are obligated to become courageous. And to do whatever they can do through this responsibility that is upon them. They have to go out and use all the means that they can in order to save whatever they can save. And therefore, so that's the end of the story. So Rav Ashri says we must conclude from there that the same thing applies here. We have to do everything we can by giving out these white cards, and therefore the Moetzes Zekenim has to be courageous and give out the white cards to whoever they see fit. What I don't understand is why even have the case of Suffolk? Why not just put the cards down and say whoever gets it, but I think that would cause a lot more harm than good. You know, you would have, you know, probably people killing each other, and that wouldn't make Jewish people better people. So here it would be better to just give them out, give out the cards, save whoever you can save. And that's the horrible choices that they have to make. And also getting back to our other question of the child, the story of the child whose father asked, my son isn't on the list of people to be saved, but I can get him on the list. My son is on the list. The situation there was that he was on the list of people to be killed, and I can get him off the list, but that means somebody else is going to be on the list. So according to the Ma'arival, that would be Aser. Because here he was already singled out that he was supposed to die, and by saving him, somebody was going to go in his stead. And in fact, the way I heard this story was that the Rav who was asked this question didn't know what to answer, and the father left his son on the list. And that's the Gvuras HaNefesh of a Jew, who loves his son so much, but doesn't want to be over the halacha. And if the halacha says that he's not allowed to get him off the list because it's going to cause somebody else to die, so he didn't do it. And that's what seemed to be the correct, what he did seemed to be correct halachically. Because the Ma'arival says that if the Goyim singled out certain Jews that they have to die, and you know by saving them you're going to cause other Jews to be killed, you're not allowed to. And that's unlike our case, because in our case we're dealing with where the Goyim didn't specify specific Jews. They just said Jews are going to be killed, and we have to save whoever we can save. So that is question number one. Question number one, the answer is yes, they can give out the cards. And now we get to question number two. Question number two is, are the Jews allowed to forcibly snatch these cards? Because they're able to, by snatching the card, they're able to save themselves. On the other hand, they're going to be causing the people who lose the cards to be killed. So my chaza de dama didach sumak tvei, who says your blood is redder, maybe his blood is redder. So first he quotes the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat Siman Shin Pei Ches, the end of Sif Beis. The Ramah writes that if a person sees that he's going to be harmed, Nezek Ba'alav, he's allowed to save himself, even though that means that the Nezek is going to come on to somebody else. So here also, according to that, you can say that you're allowed to physically, forcibly grab away a card in order to save themselves, even though that means somebody else is going to be harmed, because that's mamish like the din of the Ramah. The Ramah says if you see that you're going to be harmed, you're allowed to save yourself, even though it means that someone else is going to be harmed. And that's what these people are doing. These people are saving themselves. However, the Sma comments on the Ramah, and he says, Sham ben muke Yosef siyem, v'kasav dim kvar ba alav, asur l'salko mimenu. If the Nezek already came upon you, you are not allowed to remove it if you're going to cause your friend to be harmed. And therefore also we can say in our case that since already the Nezek already came upon him, because all of the people locked up in the ghetto were already in the hands of the Germans who could do whatever they want with them, so it's as if the Nezek already came upon you. So in such a case, then Amukah Yosef said that you're not allowed to remove the Nezek that's already upon you and pass it on to your friend if it's going to cause Nezek to your friend. So therefore you wouldn't be allowed to snatch the cards and remove from upon themselves this Nezek that's already upon them. However, we have the Shach to contend with, who quotes from the Ma'arival, that if the king places upon a decree, upon a Jew or two, and you know you can save them, if it's clear that by saving them you're going to cause somebody else harm, the Ma'arival says that it depends. That if the king already singled out certain people, then you're not allowed to save them, it's going to cause another Jew harm. But if it's stomach zera to kill two Jews, so you're allowed to save whoever you can, that they shouldn't be within the gzera, even though other people are going to be harmed. So Rabbi Shri writes, "Ulefima shekasafti yefsher gam ken ledamos nida didanu tshuvas Ma'arival zos felomar." According to what I wrote, we cannot compare it to what the Ma'arival wrote and say Dilafima shehela marival besov tvarav dimyatzik zeral bezanashim bistam yachol yehudi lishtadel ene ezanashim sherotze shlo yu b'chlal gzera. That if the gzera went out on two people bistam, a Jew is allowed to do, in other words, they didn't single out two Jews, rather in general, two Jews are to be killed, you're allowed to do whatever you can to save others, that they shouldn't be one of those two people. So im kein hu adin b'nida didan, yicholim, ba'alei hazroa, mibein ba'alei hamalacha, so the strong people amongst the workers would be allowed, l'shtad av lasos kol tatz tiki sheyesh b'yadam, וגם לכתוב את הכרטיסים הלבנים בכוח כדי שלא יהיו בכלל הגזירה אף שבוודא שעל ידי כך ייכנסו אחרים בכלל גזירה זו במקומה. You might have a notion to say that here also, just like if it's not in any specific people, you're allowed to do whatever you can to save whoever you can. So here also, these, if you're a Baal Zeroa, if the person's a strong guy, a strong arm guy, let him grab the card in order to save himself, because that's what the Ma'arival says, that if there's a gzeira b'stam on two Jews, you're allowed to do whatever you can to save whoever you can, that they shouldn't be one of those two Jews. So here also, save yourself, grab the white card, in order, the person can say to himself, I can grab the white card, in order that I shouldn't be included in the gzeira. Because Rav Ashri says, you can't say that. Why? Because you can't compare it to the Ma'arival, because the Ma'arival is talking about before they were actually grabbed. There you can say that you can do whatever you can to save people, that they shouldn't be included in the gzeira. But if people were already chapped, if they were already grabbed, you're not allowed to save certain people who are already included in the gzeira, if it would mean that other people are going to be harmed. And you can say that in our situation, now he goes back. In the end he says that they're allowed to give out the cards. But now he wants to go back and say that that's because of what the Kovner Rav said. Kovner Rav said, save whoever you can save. But now Rav Ashri goes back and he says, listen, all the people in the ghetto are included in the gzeira. So therefore, you're not allowed to get yourself out of the gzeira by forcibly grabbing away a card if it's going to cause somebody else to be harmed. Now in Maseches Bava Metzia, we have a famous gemara that two people are walking on the derech, and one of them is holding on to a bottle of water, and they're very thirsty. So if they both drink, they're both going to die. And if one of them drinks, then he's going to live, and the other fellow is going to die. So ben p'tura darshin mutav shishtu shneim v'yamusu v'al yirecha mem b'mises chaveiro. Ben p'tura's psak was that better they both drink and die, and one of them shouldn't see his friend die. The Ben Ptura Paskins, that you're not allowed to hold on to the water for yourself. Until Rabbi Akiva came along and he taught, V'chayachicha imach, chayecha kodmim l'chayecha vercha. Says your brother should live with you, but it's only with you, but that's only if you can both live. But if only one of you can live, your life comes first. So you're allowed to drink the water. He says, Rav Ashri, we got a document for Shtein, v'zachtur Ben Ptura. What does Ben Ptura mean? So if you have a case of Yaharig, of they say to Reuven, kill Shimon, or we'll kill you, we understand that you're not allowed to kill Shimon, it's Yaharig Val Yavor. Terrific. But here, anyway, both of them are going to die. So you can't say that, who says that my blood is redder, maybe his blood is redder. Here you can't say that. Because anyway your friend is going to die, so why don't you just save yourself? Why should both of you die? So possibly you can say that here also, there's a svara of my chazis. Why? Because if Reuven drinks the water for himself, he's going to live and his friend is definitely going to die. But if they both drink, then both of their lives are going to at least be extended for a few hours. So by taking it all for myself, I'm hastening the death of my friend. And therefore, for the chayei shav of your friend, we say, you can't drink it all yourself. My chazis, who says that your blood is redder? Maybe his blood is redder. Who says you're allowed to shorten his life for a few hours? However, after thinking about it, you really can't say this svar. Why? Because a person's own chaye olam is definitely better than his friend's chaye shah. If a person's going to live for the next 50 years because he drinks this water, you can't say don't drink the water so that your friend can live for another 25 minutes. So therefore, what's the machlokas between Ben Petura and Rabbi Akiva? Machlokas is that Ben Petura holds that when you drink the, when the person holds, Reuven has the water, when Reuven drinks the water, it's as if he's doing a maisa to kill Shimon. And the only time you're allowed to save yourself, the only time you say Chayecha Kodman is B'Shev Al Tasif. B'Shev Al Tasif, you can say Chayecha Kodman. But here, by drinking the water, it's Kumva Asay. He's doing a maisa to cause Shimon to die. And therefore, Ben Petura says, Mutav Sheyishtu Shneyam B'Yamusim Al Yirecha Man B'Misaso Shel Chavero. Better both of them die, and one of them shouldn't see his friend die. Yira echad mehem. He shouldn't see him. In other words, by drinking, he's seeing his friend die. He's causing his friend to die. And Rabbi Akiva holds that here it's together of Sheva al Tase, because drinking himself isn't causing his friend to die. He's not killing his friend when he drinks. Master of the universe, he's drinking for himself. So that's not considered kumva asay. At the very most, you can say that by Sheva al Tase, he's causing his friend to die because Sheva, he's not giving him to drink. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva says that Chayecha Kodman, because at the very most, he's saving himself. Sheval Tase, maybe. Passively, he's causing his friend to die. Ben Petura holds that he's actively causing his friend to die. And in fact, the Maharsha there says that let's say the water belongs to both of them. If the water belongs to both of them, Rabbi Akiva would agree that you're now allowed to take it all for yourself, because that would be considered killing Reuven. If Reuven takes it all for himself and it belongs to both Reuven and Shimon, it's like he's killing Shimon. And pshat in the Maharshal is that it's like kumvase. It's like he's doing a maisa to kill his friend by drinking all the water. And there you would say, the Maharshal says, who says your blood is redder? Maybe his blood is redder. So if the water belongs to Reuven, so then Reuven's allowed to drink it. That Rabbi Kiva holds is only Sheva al Tase. But if the water belongs to both of them, since it really belongs to Shimon, and Reuven's drinking it, and that will prevent Shimon from remaining alive, that's more of a kumvase, and that he's not allowed to do. What we see then from this machlokes is that if there's a kumvase, one is not allowed to do a maisa that's going to cause his friend to be killed. There, everybody agrees you're not allowed to do a maisa. Rabbi Kiva only says that it's mutter, because it's sheva al tase. So what about our shaila? What about snatching away the cards? So that would be considered doing a maisa? Doing a maisa causing his friend to be killed? And there you say the svara of Maicha, who says your blood is redder, maybe his blood is redder. So that apparently would be usher to snatch away the card. Because Bakumva Asay, one is not allowed to cause somebody else to die. So just like Kumva Asay is if the water belongs to both of them, to drink all the water, Reuven drinks all the water himself, when the water belongs to both to Reuven and Shimon, certainly to snatch a card away from Shimon will be a kumva asay to cause Shimon to be killed. So he's not allowed to do that. And even if he would go to the people giving them out and snatch it away from them, that would also be a kumva asay to cause other people who didn't get it to die. Even though maybe there's a svara that as long as there's so many of them, so you can say, I'm not causing anyone specifically to die, I'm going to take this one, and there are many more. However, Rav Ashri doesn't say that. He just says, he concludes, Kein haya nira laharis lefumri hata. That lefumri hata, that on the surface it would seem that it would be usur to snatch away a card. If he's given a card, very good, but he wouldn't allow to snatch one away. But but based on what I said earlier, that they're allowed to give out these cards because there's an inyan of Hatzalah, like the Kavner Rav said, that you're trying to save, so if you're allowed to save, you have to do whatever you can to save. So if that's the case, then it would be mutter for one of these Baalei Melacha to be Ovid Inish Dina Lanavshe and to snatch the card. To snatch a card, it would seem, from the people giving it out, which is more kal, because they're giving it out, it hasn't been given to anyone specifically. Or it would seem, even to snatch it away, possibly, from somebody who already has one. But he doesn't say that. He doesn't say that you're snatching it away from somebody who already has one. So, because there you're mamish killing him. In other words, he has this card in his rishus. He has a card in his rishus, and that card means life, that white card. And then Reuven comes and snatches it away. So that would seem to be definitely forbidden, because that's mamash akum vaaseh to cause somebody else to die. But the people giving it out to snatch it away from them, there nobody has it yet. So maybe there you'd be allowed to snatch it. But again, then we just have to figure out what to compare it to in the Maharival. Because if you compare it to the case where the goyim already singled people out, then by taking it away, then you're saving yourself. This person's already considered singled out. And then by saving himself, he's causing somebody else to die. That we said you're not allowed to do. One is only allowed to save oneself, where it's just a general decree that certain people are going to die. And then in such a case, one is allowed to do anything in one's power not to be that person. And here I really think it's more that way, because the decree essentially wasn't on all the Jews. They were all in the ghetto. They were all with the Nazis already, but it wasn't Nezek Balov, because there wasn't yet a decree on every single Jew's head. It was just a general decree that whoever doesn't have a card is going to die. So therefore, the Moetzes HaZakenim are allowed to give out the cards, and Rabbi Shri says you're allowed to snatch the cards. Again, he's not clear who you're snatching it from, but my logic would dictate, and my logic is often faulty, so you can feel free to argue with me, but my logic would dictate to snatch it away from somebody who already has one would be forbidden. That's killing somebody b'shei bal tase, against what the Maharsha b'kum vase, against what the Maharsha says. But to snatch it away from the person who's giving it to them out, so that would be mutter in order to save him and his family. Kein nirali, that's what appears to me, says Rav Shri, v'chein horeis yulem. So Rabosei Ayikarim, this was a ganze pilpul, back and forth, and svaras, and shas, and tazes. But at the end of the day, we're dealing with people, we're dealing with human beings, we're dealing with Yiddish neshamas, who suffered a lot, and what can I say? They're in Gan Eden now, and they're getting a reward. Like Rav Moshe Shapiro said when he went to console Rav Tuvia Lifshitz after his son was brutally murdered in the America's Harav attack. And when Rav Tuvia asked him for some sort of explanation, for some sort of understanding, he says that if your son would live 1,000 years, and he would be the Chofetz Chaim, and he would learn, and he would daven, and he would do chesed, and he would mamash be a tzaddik nizgav, and he would fast every day, he wouldn't get to the place in Olam Haba that he gets to by being killed by a goy. Anyone who was killed by the Germans has the status of a kadosh, as the Chasam Sofer writes in his tshuvas. And these are people who are sitting in Gan Eden, or wherever that place is, and whatever it's called, and whatever the different stages of Olam HaEmes are, and Olam HaNeshamas, but they're there now, and they're Tachas Kanfei Ashchina. And there are definitely b'malos hakdoshim v'atahorim shemasuris nafshon kedushas Hashem, and we should be zochet to go in their derech, not to be makadesh shem shemayim in our death, but we should be zochet to go in their derech to be makadesh shem shemayim with our lives, and in that zchus we should be zochet b'karuv mamish sheyakitzu shochnei afar, all those who are no longer with us should rise from the dead. We should be zochet tchias hamesim, b'mehera v'yameinu amein v'amein. Shalom, shalom, sweetest friends.